We get plenty of visits from musicians in the studio, but they tend to be carrying contemporary instruments. Guitars probably outnumber all the other musical devices by a wide margin. So it's nice to get a change of pace, a musician who comes bearing not just wind instruments, but instruments that do not get played much anymore. Dr. Mark Elliott Jacobs is a musician and composer. He'll be one of the performers tomorrow night, December 1st, in the Southern Oregon University Wind Ensemble Fall Concert, Ancient and Eclectic. I suspect, Mark Jacobs, you bring the ancient.
I bring the ancient. I'm a little eclectic, too, though. So.
Okay. So you have some interesting instruments here. I see it looks like a serpent and an ophicleide.
That's what I've got. So these instruments are modern reproductions. The serpent was traditionally made of walnut. It would take a big piece of walnut, split it like a book, carve it out, put it back together, and then wrap it in leather, tight-fitting leather. And then so this one is cast in fiberglass. It's a pretty accurate copy of an actual serpent from a museum. And the ophicleide is actually a modern Chinese instrument. It's made in China from a Gatoa instrument. This is a 1848 model.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a fairly straight down the pipe ophicleide for that mid 19th century.
It looks like you took a tuba and just kind of pulled it out and stretched
right,
it.
Right, right. So it's also interestingly enough, it's the ancestor of the saxophone. It looks like a saxophone with its big keys. Traditionally, like Mr. Sax, Alphonse Sax, was repairing an ophicleide and tested it when he was done with a clarinet mouthpiece. And that gave him the idea to build this other instrument. And, of course, the saxophone's only tangentially related to the ophicleide because the saxophone has a lot of other characteristics which are not shared with the ophicleide.
But that's interesting. So so he took a brass instrument and put a reed on it and ended up getting a saxophone out of the deal.
That's right.
That's pretty amazing. So what is the attraction? I mean, why would you play an ophicleide versus a tuba or a baritone horn or something like that?
Well, for me, it's a couple of things. It's interest in antiquity. I like to think of the keyed brass as a whole family of brass instruments which have been left behind. It's the forgotten tribe, if you will. And so it's all about how to change notes. So all the brass instruments share the harmonic series together. So we play all the notes on harmonic series, and trombones move the slide to change the note within the series, and trumpets change their valves to change the note within the harmonic series. And there were at one time these instruments where you would open and close holes on the instrument to change notes.
So it's just a different way of getting the same effect?
Yeah. So and it was really 1815, I just read this morning, just to review, was the invention of the valve. And so that changed everything.
So I understand the name of the ophicleide is actually sort of a reference to the serpent.
It is. Yeah, that's two Greek words, ophis, snake, and then clyde, which is like closing thing, which they didn't have keys in ancient Greece, I guess, for clappers. But it's a keyed serpent is what it literally means.
Can we get a demonstration of one or both of these? Set it up first, and we'll actually shoot some video while you do this as well and horse the microphones around once you're in position.
Okay. So the original purpose of the serpent was to play accompany singers in churches where they didn't have organs in the 17th century, early 17th century. So I'll start with one of those chants.
Okay, so it'll be from the serpent then. We'll be hearing Mark Elliott Jacobs performing here in our studio, and I'll shove his microphone a little closer to him while we're talking here. And we'll get in position, and we'll put a little video up on Facebook as well. So anytime you're ready, Dr. Jacobs.
Even though this is an ancient instrument, I still have morning lips. So let's see how it works out. There we go.
Dr. Mark Elliott Jacobs on the Jefferson Exchange playing some ancient musical instruments. That one was the serpent. It's interesting to see you actually covering the holes in this thing. It could actually be considered a sub-bass recorder in addition to a brass instrument.
Yeah. And what is another thing that's interesting about it is you may have, if you noticed, there's six holes. They're right in the middle of the instrument. So they're totally wrong. They're totally in the wrong place. And so when they play it, we got to do all sorts of things with the lip. So like here, that's totally on my lip. So all that's lip. And so sometimes the fingerings are just wishful thinking.
You mentioned having morning lips, and so you really kind of have to spend a little time. This is sort of like singers would get their vocal cords warmed up. And
right. Yeah.
So you have to do some work with your lips, I would think.
Yes, absolutely.
Have you not just do that today?
I did do that this morning with these guys, yeah.
What kinds of repetitions would you go through to get the lips ready for the embouchure, the placement
on
the
mouthpiece? We've got a whole series of wonderful exercises that come down to us. I like to use the trombone version, since I'm a trombone player. Warm-ups with long tones and what we call lip slurs. I think I can do a lip slur here.
Okay, a lip slur as demonstrated by Mark Jacobs.
So on the harmonic series here. So I'm going between harmonics, but I'm not changing my fingers. Just changing the tension of my lip. And then the instrument takes over and emphasizes the notes it wants to and not the ones I want to. Sometimes.
So your lip is the reed, in a sense.
It is. Yeah, most musicologists call it a lip reed because some of them are wood or plastic and some are metal. And so calling them brass is really not totally descriptive.
How tired does your mouth get by the end of a brass ensemble concert?
Oh, it gets there. So if you go to our quintet concerts, for example, we'll talk sometimes between pieces while we're letting the blood brush back into our lips because those lips have to be supple and oxygenated.
Mark Elliott Jacobs is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a professor at Southern Oregon University and a member of the Wind Ensemble, which is in performance tomorrow night, performing its fall concert called Ancient and Eclectic. We have Ancient and Eclectic here right now, as Mark has both a serpent, which he's been playing here off and on for the last few minutes, and an ophicleide in here as well. I think of them as bass trumpets, really, with a few twists and turns thrown in, particularly with the serpent. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange if you have questions for Dr. Jacobs, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Is it just me, or is there always sort of an interest in instruments that are outside the quote-unquote mainstream of the moment that people take
true.
To?
I think that's very true. So a lot of the interest in these instruments is antiquarian, so they were trying to reproduce the sound of the orchestra in the 19th century. In other cases, it's not. For example, the serpent was famously, to serpent players at least, used in the soundtracks for some movies, like Zardoz. You remember Zardoz?
With Sean Connery.
Uh-huh. And Journey to the Center of the Earth. Yeah, it still has a presence, and it's got that unique quality to it, sort of plaintive, friendly sound.
Those are the movie soundtracks that make you go, wait, that's not an oboe.
What is that thing?
Yeah. So tell us about the Wind Ensemble itself. It sounds like it's a mix of students and teachers.
Yeah, well, they're mostly students in there, and it's a wind ensemble. They perform a concert every term, and tonight I'm the soloist. I'll be playing a actual early 20th century tuba solo. It's something that might have been played on an ophicleide, but I'll be the soloist on the ophicleide tonight.
And what's the piece?
It's called Solo Pomposo. So it's pompous, I guess.
Pompous solo.
Yeah.
You've been saying tonight. You mean it is tomorrow.
I'm sorry,
December
tomorrow
1st.
Okay, yeah,
sorry. I want to make sure we're clear. This is at the recital hall?
Recital hall tomorrow
Music
night.
Recital hall.
Right.
Okay. So let's. Why don't we move over to the ophicleide? You brought that into the studio. Give us a little setup on this before you reach for it.
All right. So the ophicleide is the sort of the steam age version of the serpent. It's got a different bore. It's the same bore as a bugle. In fact, it was inspired by the Keyed bugle or the Kent bugle, which was popular in Ireland and then England in military bands. And so this is sort of the bass version. One of the things that's weird about it is that all the keys are normally closed except for one. And that's the one that the inventor, Mr. Allery, invented to give an extra half step to the instrument. So I can demonstrate that first, I guess.
Extra half step so you can get more flats and sharps?
Yeah, just one lower note.
Okay, interesting. Okay, so the ophicleide is the instrument, and you'll see the picture when we put the video and the pictures up on Facebook. But here's Mark Jacobs with his ophicleide.
That's that last key. So I'll just play a little tune. This is a little piece from a Bellini opera. I think my piece says it's Romeo. I think it's his... a little-known opera called the Montagues and Capulets, or Capulets and Montagues. There it is.
Big Finish. Mark Elliott Jacobs playing the Afaklide is not an instrument you're going to see every day. It looks sort of like a saxophone and a tuba player got together at a party one night and produced this child. Right. Why? What are the advantages of using, for example, these instead of some of the more traditional, the more common brass instruments? Yeah.
Well, there's totally nothing wrong with playing on modern instruments, but this has a slightly different sound. You heard the different articulations and the sound of the keys. It's just a little different, a little subtly different, not just for the players, but the sound. There are some Afaklide players working in different places now in orchestras. Orchestra in the Enlightenment comes to mind, if you want to Google that. And it's just a slightly different quality. There's a famous piece in the overture to the Mendelssohn's Midsummer Night's Dream. Mendelssohn was touring in Europe, and he saw actually a serpent. I have a picture here I'll show you. This is this instrument.
Okay.
And it's a metal upright serpent. And he saw one being played, and he wrote back to his sister. He said, "Fanny, I've found a musical watering can."
It does look like that. It's a good description.
Yeah, it does look like one. And so he wrote a part for that in his overture. And by the time it was published, the English bass horn was out of style. So he revised it for the Afaklide. But that was the lowest note on the C Afaklide, the one a little smaller than this, is played, and that's a pure conical B.
I don't know if our listeners heard as well as I could in the room, but there's a fair amount of clatter with the moving of the keys on the Afaklide.
Yeah, that's true. It's sort of like the fret clatter when you're listening to a guitar player.
Right, when you hear the fingers going squeak, squeak up the strings, yeah.
And as I practice, I get a little bit more subtle action in that sense. So, but sometimes I just like to let it clack away.
I just noticed the harness. I mean, are these instruments heavy enough that you need a little physical support?
This B flat one is. Traditionally, they were made of a lighter brass, like a thinner brass. I've got another one, a C one that was made in 1850, about, and it's very light. I can just hold it. This one gets a little heavy, so I have this little saxophone, baritone sax harness for it.
Aside from these instruments, which work very, very low in the musical register, I mean, do you play all the treble instruments way up to the top of the scale in brass?
I limit myself to instruments that have a mouthpiece like a trombone. So from bass trombone to alto trombone, euphonium, tuba, and these guys. But there was an alto version of the Afaklide. It's called a quinticlave, which is like five key, I guess is what that means. And someone made a soprano serpent called a worm, which is just a little thing. It's about 12 inches long.
The worm instead of the serpent. That's very funny. So trombone on down. You don't mess with trumpets at all?
No, the embouchure is too small for my face, so I'm not trained in that. So if I can play it with my trombone embouchure or a slight variation, then I'm interested.
We've learned so much about embouchure today. I had no idea that your face sort of limits the kind of instruments you can play.
Yeah, well.
So you do, obviously, you teach composition and compose music yourself. So do you write works with these as central features?
I haven't so much. That's something I'm always interested in getting into. But there are modern pieces written for the Afaklide. There's an Afaklide concerto. If you look at the Google site about Afaklide, it starts out with a poem by a wag about the Afaklide. It says... Oh, I can't remember it anymore. But anyway, it's a good thing to find on Google.
All right. So a big concert tomorrow night. More than just the Afaklide and the serpent. A lot of different wind instruments.
Yes.
All right. And a lot of different people performing as well. That'll be the Ancient and Eclectic Concert tomorrow night at 7:30. That's December 1st at the Southern Oregon University Music Recital Hall. It's the fall concert for the Southern Oregon University Wind Ensemble. Mark Elliott Jacobs, thanks so much for demonstrating these instruments today.
Thank you.
Good to have you here.